You are now joining Children of the Watch.
That's right. It's the number one after show for all things Star Wars television. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is
Mac Lacey. It's good. It's good to be back in the Children of the Watch studio here, the virtual studio.
It is nice.
Alex, we are so close to the release of Obi-Wan Kenobi, the upcoming television show on Disney Plus, centering around Ewan McGregor playing the titular Jedi. How are you feeling?
So we're doing a hype check right now, right? This is a hype check.
I think so.
I'm on a 9 right now. Next week, I'm going to be on a 10, and it's going to be all week long. Because Obi-Wan Kenobi coincides with, I'm a school teacher, getting out of school. Like, the day that Obi-Wan Kenobi comes out is also the day that school lets up. And, you know, it's going to be a great day. What a great way to kick off the summer season.
Absolutely. I mean, that is kind of like the Star Wars tradition, right? Wars movie kind of signaled the start of summer when they were coming out in May.
Yeah, they always typically came out around Memorial Day. So for the first two episodes to drop that weekend, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean, on top of Obi-Wan Kenobi, which we will be covering in scene by scene breakdowns like you've never heard before, we also have like a lot of news coming out from Star Wars Celebration. But we also got a ton of news today that we're going to talk about. Like, we had to kind of shift things on the podcast because there was just so much news.
Yeah.
And so,
And we're covering a lot of ground here, too. We're going to be talking Obi-Wan Kenobi so we can get that hype train rolling. But we're going to get into some other stuff, too, which is exciting.
Yeah, because, I mean, we don't just cover Obi-Wan Kenobi. If you were with us for the Book of Boba Fett, we covered the Book of Boba Fett with scene-by-scene breakdowns. But who we originally were, we were the Mandalorian Watch.
Right. The Mandalorian is kind of our, you know, our origins. That's where we kind of grew up as a show, learned the ropes and everything like that. So it's always gonna have a special place in our heart. So yeah, for all of the Disney Plus live action Star Wars shows,
that's right,
we are there breaking them down, and you can be here listening to us do it.
That's exactly right. So yeah, we want to welcome you back. If you haven't joined us since the Book of Boba Fett, maybe you just took a little break and you're starting to realize, I got to get back into the swing of things. I got to get a hype check ready. Maybe that's you. But we also want to welcome any new people. Maybe you're just now finding our podcast because you're searching up Obi-Wan Kenobi. Here we are. This podcast has a little bit different format than I would say most Star Wars podcasts. What we typically try to do is very detailed scene by scene breakdowns. And so like, it's not more of a, like a discussion. It's more of a, we are going to go literally from the very beginning of the episode to the end of the episode, break it down and give our thoughts and theories along the way. And then after that, in the middle of the week, while we're waiting for the next episode, we've got our voicemail hotline episodes where you guys call in with your thoughts, your theories, your questions, and we discuss that on the podcast as well. It has been so much fun doing that since The Mandalorian. It's been really, really fun, and I cannot wait to do it for Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think there's going to be so much to talk about.
For sure, for sure. Especially if, you know, we get some crazy Force stuff happening, or if some, you know, really big name, we already know some big name characters who are going to be making an appearance.
Right.
So, you know, who knows who else might show up. I'm sure that you will definitely want to tune in to the Hotmail. I am hotline voicemail episodes.
You remember having a Hotmail account like back in the day? Did you ever?
I was
have
always
a
Yahoo.com kid. I had the Yahoo email. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. RIP. That inbox is still somewhere, just collecting spam.
That's amazing.
Cool. Well, so if you like what we do here, like the show and everything, consider supporting us on Patreon. We've got one of those. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe and like on YouTube, all that good stuff. If you like what you hear. And I mean, I think maybe before we get into the main content of the show, let's thank this episode's main sponsor.
Oh yeah. Keepthewatch.com.
Absolutely. The good folks over at keepthewatch.com. We have been in business with them for a long time. Really, really love keepthewatch.com. What a great company.
Great people.
Just
great
so glad people. That we could have this partnership. Yeah. But you can go over there. We've got all kinds of cool merch out. You get our logo and all kinds of designs on pretty much anything you want. And we're about to have some new Obi-Wan merch. We've got a nice a new Hello There design you should check out if you're interested.
Yeah, it's honestly probably my favorite design, and I'm very partial to the Vanth refrigeration design.
Yeah. I mean
this one is really good. This one's a really cool Obi-Wan Kenobi shirt. It's a very retro's 80s shirt.
Yeah, synthwave.
Yeah, and it says Hello There underneath him, and it's really, really cool. And we're actually on our next episode, we'll give you a promo code that will get you free shipping in the United States when you buy the Hello There shirt. Hello there.
Hello there.
But yeah, thanks to our sponsors, keepthewatch.com. Great people. Love them. Yeah. In case you haven't caught on yet, that is us. That's our website.
We're the good people at keepthewatch.com.
Yes. Cool. Yeah, and just one last thing, because we are not sponsored on the podcast in terms of, like, we don't do the ads on the podcast. You might see some on our YouTube from time to time, but basically podcasting isn't for free, so going to keepthewatch.com definitely helps us out. Patreon.com definitely helps us out. But above all, we would love for you guys to spread the watch. Yeah. Like, tell your friends and family about this, because this is so much fun to do, and it's way more fun to do with more and more people. And one of the things that we always try to do on this podcast is not talk above anyone. So, like, right. Whether you are a hardcore fan or a brand new fan, and you really have no idea who some of these characters are, what their relationship to other characters are, that's what we try to do. We try to explain it so that way everyone can enjoy it. And so this podcast is definitely for everybody. So make sure you tell your friends and family, because that is the best way to grow a podcast and this awesome community that has built from this. So if you could help us out, that would be great.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I think that just about wraps up the business, right?
Yeah. Let's get into it, because there was a huge Vanity Fair article that came out.
Yeah.
Today, yeah. As we are recording this, and basically, I believe it was titled "The Rebellion Will Be Televised," and yeah. that was such a great title, right?
Yeah. Like that's good, just a great good title. On the folks over at Vanity Fair. In a world of lousy headlines, that's an amazing one.
That I believe Anthony Breznican wrote that one, and the Brez is always good to Star Wars. He does Star Wars right. But there was so much news that came out of that Vanity Fair article that honestly I was not expecting until Star Wars Celebration next week. And I feel like they're prepping us for next week when we get some announcements, but I don't want to hype up Celebration too much, but it makes me think, like, oh my gosh, what are we going to get at Celebration if they have to release this week?
Right. Normally, like, you know, you could just throw a big Andor late summer 2022 up on the screen at Celebration and the whole place would just erupt in applause, you know, and that's all you had to do.
Right.
But they dropped this in an article, so what's coming at Celebration? That's gonna be interesting to see what we get here in the summer.
Let's go over some of the takeaways from the Vanity Fair. We're not gonna read it like word for word. You should definitely go and Google this article. It's worth the entire read. It's a long read. Yeah. It is a long read, but it's worth it, all of it. But we will do some of the takeaways. Number one being what you just said, Andor is premiering quote unquote late summer. What does that mean? What is late summer?
August, right?
August, September-ish.
Yeah. I mean, September is, I traditionally think of it as fall, like early fall, but I guess the movie industry doesn't really like May is not really summer to me. So, you know, no, they always exactly. say May or May movies or summer movies. Yeah. I don't, I think fall officially actually starts
like September 20th, 20 yeah, something.
Late September there.
Okay.
So I would say late August, early September. For
That's
Andor.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I honestly, like we had heard rumors that Andor might be coming that soon. I didn't realize really that soon.
No, we've been talking like ever since Mandalorian season one, and it became apparent that this was going to be a lot, you know, it was going to be a whole thing. We were just like talking about how crazy it's going to be when we have like multiple Star Wars shows coming out in the same year. And we're here. Like,
this is it.
This is what it feels like, everybody. We have arrived. We have seen for ourselves. It's crazy. Like, I just whiplash almost from Kenobi to Andor.
Okay. I just did some math real quick, and that is not my strong suit, but.
You are an English teacher. Is that correct?
That is correct. So today they also announced this had nothing to do with the Vanity Fair article, by the way. But She-Hulk, the television show, is premiering August 17th.
Okay.
On
so
Disney
it'll
Plus.
Probably run concurrently with Andor, right?
Well, that's what I was about to say. If it's six episodes and it starts on August 17th, and maybe they do two episodes on August 17th, that would put us around September 14th or 21st if it's six episodes. And that would be still technically late summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still expecting August. August, in my mind, that's when Andor's coming out too.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be August or September.
My birthday is in August, so I think it would be a fantastic gift to me if they would release Andor. Because I'm very excited for Andor. Rogue One is way high up on my favorite Star Wars movies list. So.
Yeah. The Mandalorian is premiering late 2022 or early 2023, which that to me kind of screams the Book of Boba Fett, that time slot like this year. Technically, the Book of Boba Fett came out last year. The first episode did. But then
they just snuck it in. It's like a movie for Oscar season. You can just like barely sneak it in by a couple of days just to be eligible.
Yeah, so that could range from January to March. The Mandalorian, that's when that could premiere. And I'm so looking forward to season three of The Mandalorian. In fact, I think I'm expecting some big news about The Mandalorian next week with the panels that they do and stuff.
100%. Yeah,
I think we're gonna get some really cool news out of that. And then Ahsoka is confirmed to be coming out in 2023, like we kind of suspected. I think that probably would fit in the same sort of time slot that Kenobi is, like entering summer, or maybe Andor, maybe it's late summer, but that's kind of what I'm expecting for that. Now, they did give us some details about Andor that I want to talk about, because that's what we're doing now. We're talking about all the Star Wars television shows. And so here's some little snippets about Andor that kind of gets us in the right mindset for the show. It says, when we meet him, he's revolution averse. He's cynical and he's kind of a mess.
Yeah. That's exactly what I want to hear. For anybody who doesn't know, Cassian Andor from Rogue One, he actually he was a separatist as a child, you know, kind of grew up that way. So in the Clone Wars. So, I mean, that would make sense that he, after seeing all just the tragedy of what the Clone Wars was, it would make sense why he would kind of not want to get involved in anything like that again, you know?
Right.
And so that you want to see kind of that Andor that's looking for purpose and everything. And then we get to watch him find it in the rebellion. And that just makes for a great story to me.
Yeah, and like they even mentioned in the article, as a kid, his homeworld is destroyed. Like they're telling us kind of like how the beginning of the series starts. His homeworld's destroyed, and then it jumps to his adulthood where he realizes he can't run forever. So I'm wondering, like, okay, obviously the Empire wasn't around when he was a child. He was a separatist. Right. So it makes me wonder, like, are we going to see the Republic destroy his homeworld, or is it just destroyed like during the Clone Wars, like just a big battle that's happening or something? That's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah. And I don't know which I would prefer, actually, because like, yeah. I mean, especially Rogue One and it kind of got into the moral ambiguity of Rebellion and what's involved, especially Cassian, you know, his right. character. When we meet him, he's murking dudes in a back alley, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess like seeing the nasty side of the Republic would be a cool thing.
Yeah.
Because we really haven't seen that. The Republic's pretty much unilaterally portrayed as the good guys in the Clone Wars, right? There's here and there, you know, like Lux Vontari and stuff, you'll get some pro-separatist episodes of the Clone Wars or something like that. But generally, pretty much. So it's, I just think that would be an interesting side of the Republic to get to see. And see the kind of just what that looks like from a different lens in the Star Wars universe, you know?
Dude, that'd be awesome. I'd love that. They also went on to say that the series will show an unstoppable empire.
Yeah.
Until by the end, Andor is blocking the way. So like we're going to see Cassian grow into that rebellion intelligence officer, because at the beginning, it seems like he doesn't want anything to do with it. And so like the events of the show lead him to join the rebellion. They also had like Mon Mothma. They showed some pictures of her as well. She looks great. Cassian looks great. This show, honestly, I think it has the potential to be the best show this year. And here's why. The expectations are a lot lower on this show than Obi-Wan Kenobi, than The Mandalorian, than the Book of Boba Fett was.
Yeah.
I think Andor could like really turn some heads, especially if it sticks with the tone and the feel that Rogue One had.
Right.
This show is going to be legit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you on that. Obi-Wan is such high stakes, it feels like, right now, for a couple reasons. We're coming off of the Book of Boba Fett, which like there was a lot of kind of, you know, it upset some folks, right? So I feel like for those of us who liked the Book of Boba Fett, but are kind of bummed out that some people didn't like a Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
Not really bummed out, but like,
right.
I want everybody to know, like what you like, for sure.
Exactly.
But like, I just want there to be good Star Wars.
I want everyone to love Star Wars all the time.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
is that so much to ask? No, but like, I feel like we kind of are viewing Obi-Wan as this like riding of the ship, maybe, or something like that. Not that like we're coming off of like the amazing success of The Mandalorian. Like,
yeah.
Star Wars TV is alive and well and doing great. There's just like, because of the moment we're in right now, it feels like there's a lot riding on Obi-Wan. I agree with you. And then the character is just such a higher stakes character to play with, you know? But with Andor, you don't have that. Andor, like,
exactly.
He's beloved, but we don't know as much about him as we do Obi-Wan. So it's not like people, you know, there's no room to get any of that wrong or upset anybody that way. You know, I think just the blank slate, they've been talking about the production value they're putting into it, making these massive set pieces. And I think that like, I hope this is kind of capturing the spirit of like a classic adventure film in the way that like Indiana Jones does, in a way.
Ooh, yeah.
Because like, there are some like higher, you know, moral concepts in Indiana Jones than maybe Star Wars has, or more complex, I guess, more.
Right.
Because the kind of the charm of Star Wars is it's black and white, good guys, bad guys. But you get that with this just sense of whimsy and fun and enthusiasm and energy that a kind of a world trotting adventure film has. I'd love it to have a little bit of that feel.
That'd be cool.
Anyway, can you tell I'm excited about Andor?
Honestly, and like that would be very enjoyable, but on the other end of the spectrum, I think like a show where it's like people talking in rooms and like,
oh yeah.
Almost kind of like the Bill Burr scene from The Mandalorian, where it's like the action was through the dialogue, that too. Like
maybe
it could be both too, you know, like, I don't know.
Maybe instead of like the whimsy and enthusiasm and stuff was wrong, like the groundedness of it, like just kind of, I want to follow this dude on his adventures in this world that's new and mysterious, and there's intrigue and all this espionage and stuff.
Kind of like
that
you did with Jin. I feel like Jin is the point of view character you're following throughout Rogue One, and everybody else is the side characters, including Cassian. But to do that with Cassian, of like him exploring and discovering all these new things in the rebellion, and meeting Saw Gerrera and his partisans, and just getting all that, and then the politics side of it you can have with Mon Mothma, of like, what's it like in the Imperial Senate?
Yeah,
what's going on there? Like, you can really have both with that show. And I think that show is going to be really cool. I think people are sleeping on this show. I didn't want to say sleeping on Andor. That's kind of weird. But sleeping on the show. And like, it's going to be good. I think it's going to be, at the very least, it's going to be good. But it has potential to be the best one this year, I think.
Wow. All right. So, really throwing down the gauntlet there.
Also, our logo for the Andor show might be my favorite one.
It's really good
for Children of the Watch. It's really good.
Can't wait to let y'all see that at large.
So the article goes on and it talks about Ahsoka as well. It doesn't talk a lot about Ahsoka, but it did mention Thrawn in the article, specifically naming him and how she is hunting Thrawn.
Yeah.
They're prepping us for something there, right?
For sure. To me, when you put, we have no idea of the time frame in which this show takes place, right, Ahsoka?
I assume that it's taking place after what we see her in the Book of Boba Fett. I think it's taking place in the Mandalorian era.
I don't know.
With flashbacks. That's what I think.
Yeah, and I guess we don't know when Ahsoka and Sabine, so at the end of Rebels, we don't know when that. Right. That's the missing key for me to be able to pin it down, I think. Where I'm going with this, I think Ahsoka's show is her going to look for Ezra.
Yes.
With Sabine at this point, right? And then they find Ezra and Thrawn.
Yes.
And that's how Thrawn returns to the galaxy, right?
When you go back and watch her episode from The Mandalorian, when you encounter Morgan Elsbeth on Kaladin, it almost seems like Thrawn's back, but Ezra didn't come back with them, and so it makes me think she's hunting Thrawn because she wants answers about Ezra. Like, where's Ezra? Like, because it seemed like Thrawn was raising that planet.
Yeah.
For something we don't know. Maybe he's building a fleet. Maybe he's preparing for his return to the galaxy. But it made me think maybe Thrawn has already kind of started to come back a little bit, and she's heard about Thrawn being back. And if Thrawn's back, that means he knows something about Ezra. So she's got to find Thrawn to find Ezra.
Yeah. All right.
So we'll see. I don't know.
I want it to be that initial journey of Ahsoka and Sabine into the unknown regions, just because I want to see that on screen. You know, I want the unknown regions and everything like that. We could get it.
Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked because she's still kind of like Ahsoka the Gray right now, right?
Right.
When we see her at the end of Rebels, which was an epilogue that took place way after what Rebels, like the timeline is.
And I think intentionally with no time context.
She is basically like Ahsoka the White, like Gandalf, right?
Yeah.
She's got the white cloak on. She's got the staff. I think this show is about her transition from Ahsoka the Gray to the White. And then that epilogue happens. And we might get that story of her and Sabine in animated world.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think so. I mean,
or maybe
the working title of the show is Stormcrow.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think they're kind of getting it the Gandalf comparison.
Here's the other thing about them mentioning Thrawn in the article, though. I think this is just me. This is my wild speculation for Star Wars Celebration next week.
Okay.
I think we're getting a casting announcement for Thrawn, and we're going to see Thrawn, like a picture of Thrawn.
Ooh, okay. All right. All right.
Here's okay. You want to you put the tinfoil hat on with me right now. We're gonna speculate irresponsibility.
Crinkle my tinfoil up. Let me shape it real fast. All right. It is. Yep. Yeah. Gotta get my antenna installed here. All right.
Are you ready for this?
I'm wearing my personal protective equipment.
So many people were upset that the Grand Inquisitor was not being played by Jason Isaacs, who portrayed him in Star Wars Rebels. Like, he did the voice for the Grand Inquisitor in Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah.
He is not playing the Grand Inquisitor in live action because he's playing Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Oh, and he would be so good at it.
He would. He's the bad guy in The Patriot. He's Malfoy's dad in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, he would be so good at it. He's got... Like, obviously, you can accomplish a lot with prosthetics and everything, but I think it helps to kind of have that facial structure there already, and he's kind of already got that. But just the coolness with which he can be evil and menacing, you know, I think that's perfect, because that's what you need in Thrawn.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't want to, like, get people's hopes up and, like, they don't do that because, you know, whatever, but that's just my antenna hat speculation there, because I did think it was kind of odd. Why wouldn't you get Jason Isaacs to do the Grand Inquisitor
right
when he's right there?
We do know that. I mean, like, Lucasfilm kind of likes to do the whole, oh, you're already kind of in the family. Let's, you know, oh, you play an animated character over here, we can put you in live action here, vice versa. Sure. I mean, they did that with Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Hey, you want a show?
So, like, I don't know. We'll see. A lot of people also were like, well, isn't Lars Mikkelsen, the guy who voiced Thrawn, he could play Thrawn. He could. But, like, according to some of the rumors out there right now, it doesn't seem like that's the case. So we'll see what happens. But I do feel like we're getting an announcement about Thrawn next week. Keep your eyes peeled about that. More in the article. There's so much more in this article. Oh, my gosh. There's so much. No more. Okay. This was a lot of the talk on Twitter today. Star Wars Twitter was talking about this a lot. Criticizing Kathleen Kennedy for the way that it was framed in this article, and I think rightly so. They basically said that the lesson that they learned from Solo was not to recast, and I think they learned the wrong lesson there.
Yes.
That's not Alden Ehrenreich was not the problem for Solo,
right?
In my opinion, I thought he did a great job playing Han Solo. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did a fantastic job. He gave a great performance. I think he captured the character. I think fans were part of the problem on that end, if that makes sense. Just like the way that I don't feel like he got a fair shake out of the gate, you know.
Here's what I'll say about that. I'm going to give Kathleen Kennedy the benefit of the doubt. And maybe look at it from the perspective of, like, a general audience maybe won't accept someone else playing Han Solo. Maybe that's what she meant by that. And I would say for the most part, maybe that's true.
I guess I was meaning, like, a few vocal fans were part of the problem, not like...
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, there were some very vocal fans about, like, it can't be Harrison Ford or right. You know, like, all that, but like, from a general, let's say, like, because nobody saw the movie in theater, that's the problem.
Yeah,
like, they didn't
market it.
Exactly.
They didn't do anything to market that movie,
so like, but maybe they were thinking the problem was because somebody else is playing Han Solo and it's not Harrison Ford, so they maybe were thinking that's the issue. And I think that wasn't the issue. Number one, it's the marketing. Hardly any marketing for that movie at all, number one. Number two, it was going up against Avengers Infinity War.
Right, which just became this huge monolithic box office giant, set all the records until Endgame set the next records.
So I don't know. I guess I was just a little disappointed. Like, they kind of announced, like, we're not going to recast anymore. We're going to do the deep fake thing like we're doing with Luke Skywalker. And like, it's cool. It's no doubt cool. Like, it really works with Tarkin. It worked with Leia. It worked with Luke. But if you're going to do it like consistently, it's weird.
Yes. Duration is such a factor there, right? I can look at a deep fake Luke for a few scenes in an episode of a show and it'll be fine. If I am following like a deep faked character throughout a whole show, you know, that's a problem, right?
And I think be there, by the way. We'll talk about that in just a second.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that you can recast characters when the context calls for that. You can deepfake characters when the context calls for that.
Right.
It's learning how to use these new tools and the old tools we had at our disposal effectively going forward. That's, you know, it's not a matter of, you can't just throw out a statement like, oh, nobody wants a recasted main Star Wars character, because it's just simply not true.
Right.
Like, I think it's honestly like a cop out. In some regards, you know, just because like you can do the work, it just, you can't keep absolutely everybody happy all the time, which is always what
exactly
they want to do, right?
Exactly.
And, and that prevents, you know, some creative choices from being made and that kind of thing.
I guess I'm just disappointed because it feels like, oh, we're not going to get a follow-up on Solo at all. Like, I was kind of hoping,
yeah,
you know, like, so that doesn't seem very likely at all.
But like, it sucks because I love that movie. Like, that has had one of the most like return value on repeated watches. Mm. Like, I think the biggest rewatch value of any of the new set of Star Wars movies, I think, maybe.
I got to go with the Rogue One on that one. Rogue
One.
See,
I loved
it
out of the gate. I loved it immediately out of the gate. So,
I just mean the disparity
between like how I felt about it seeing it in theater and then how I felt about it watching later, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's talk about The Acolyte.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, we got some news about The Acolyte, which I think, this is such a great show idea. It's perfect for Star Wars television.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, this is such a great idea. I am going to read a little bit of the article for this because I want to talk about this because this is so good.
Yeah.
The Acolyte, Hedlund says, who's the writer, takes place roughly 100 years before the Phantom Menace. And then this is the quote. A lot of those characters haven't even been born yet. We're taking a look at the political and personal and spiritual things that came up in a time period that we don't know much about. My question when watching The Phantom Menace was always like, well, how did things get to this point? How did we get to a point where a Sith Lord can infiltrate the Senate and none of these Jedi pick up on it? Like, what went wrong? What are the scenarios that led us to this moment?
Yes!
Let's go!
For anybody, and actually this is now out on the public feed. We did it as a Patreon preview. So in Menace commentary, we talked about this a lot, I feel like, during that. Just like touching at like, the Jedi were supposed to be something different, and now we're here, right? And there's just like, there's things that don't make sense. Like why isn't anybody sensing Palpatine always being around the Jedi Temple all the time and everything, you know?
Dude, it's a Sith Lord show. They're basically, like, we speculated that's probably what it is, but to get that confirmation of like, no, this is the rule of two and how they infiltrated the Republic and got to the point where Palpatine could take over. Let's go.
Yes. I'm so excited to, maybe we'll talk about it later, but I'm excited to get some different perspectives on entities that we've met in Star Wars before. So like the Jedi,
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what a, like, don't you get the feeling this is going to be from the Sith point of view?
Yes, like, it should be. Like, yeah.
So, like, what does a Sith really think about the Jedi Order? Like, what, I can't wait to see the show portray the Order as a Sith sees it, you know? I can't wait to see it portray the attractive things about the dark side that, like, would make somebody fall that way, right? And then you always hope at the end there's going to be a redemption or something for somebody, or the good guys will triumph in some way, or there's some kind of hope. So you're always excited to see that twist, no matter how dark it gets, you know, even in a Sith Lord show. So there's
It's it makes you also wonder if it's 100 years before the Phantom Menace, is this going to have anything to do with the Legends character, Darth Plagueis? Like, yes. I know he's mentioned in the movies. Palpatine talks about his master, Darth Plagueis, but like the novel Darth Plagueis pretty much sounds like the Acolyte a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Is he going to be involved at all in the show? Like, the.
Yeah. And
what's so great is like this could have so many seasons where it's like the main character starts off as the Acolyte, but then when they become the Sith Lord, then they have an Acolyte. You know, like,
yes. If there is ever a premise for like a Game of Thrones style Star Wars show, this is it, right? So you could, I would love to see seasons of the Rule of Two, right? So like we start with two. And then by the time, you know, we've got so many apprentices killing masters, we're so far down the line by the end of the show, you know? I think that would be very entertaining to watch.
That's like an alternate title probably for this, The Rule of Two. That, I mean, like, I'm grinning ear to ear just thinking about, like, oh my gosh, that show sounds like so up my alley. It's not even funny. I'm going to give one more quote from the head writer. Headland describes the Acolyte as a mystery thriller set in a prosperous and seemingly peaceful era when the galaxy is still sleek and glistening. She says, we actually use the term the Renaissance or the Age of Enlightenment, she says. Jedis were not always aesthetic monk-like figures living selflessly and bravely. The Jedi uniforms are gold and white, and it's almost like they would never get dirty. They would never be out and about, Headland says. The idea is that they could have these type of uniforms because that's how little they are getting into skirmishes. And that's very much what the High Republic uniforms look like, which takes place about 150 years before this.
Yeah.
But it's still in that era. So kind of what you were saying before, how could what would a Sith look at the Jedi like? It's like,
right. And yeah, there's something very Raised by Wolves to it, to me, like with how kind of the Mithraic are portrayed in that show and that kind of thing. That's almost like what that sounds like kind of about the Jedi here. So
dude, it's going to be legit. Like, it's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of show we've been talking. I think ever since you and I have kind of been talking about Star Wars in the new era, since like Force Awakens, you know, I feel like we've been dying for something that's live action set back in the past. I mean, even an animated show back in the past would be amazing. Yeah. But just like, we're going to get that now.
Yeah.
It's going to be in, you know, before kind of the era we're familiar with. So you don't have to worry about getting in the way of anybody's origin story or anything like that, you know, kind of blank slate. Let's see what characters you want to give us, what adventures they're going on, what, maybe what mischief, the dark side characters are getting into.
I mean, like, and you can have Yoda though. Like, you can have Yoda in the show, which is which is great.
And I think you should, right? You totally should. And they should do him as a puppet, like they have, because
like the Phantom Menace puppet.
Oh no, not that one. I do like it more than the CGI Yoda in the prequel.
I like it more than the Return of the Jedi puppet. The Return of the Jedi puppet's weird looking to me.
Really?
Yes, it's not the same. Like, it looks like he's melted. Like maybe that's because he's on his deathbed, but
I think the puppet actually did melt. Maybe like, and they made a new one.
Yeah,
but yeah,
yeah, that makes sense. And then the last big thing from the Vanity article was the rumored project called Grammar Rodeo. And we got some confirmation about this show, and it's very different than what the rumors had been saying it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm going to put my speculation hat on one more time with this one, but basically John Watts is producing slash show running. And if you're not familiar with John Watts, he's the one that did all three of the new Spider-Man movies. He just pulled out a Fantastic Four. And I think it might be for this.
To do this, yeah.
Which kind of is a cool thing. Like, you pull out of a movie to do a show? That's really kind of cool to me.
I mean, he may have been just trying to avoid the curse of the Fantastic Four.
I don't blame him. Yeah, no, I don't either. It's going to ruin your career. Whoever does that, don't do it. But a casting notice has gone out for four children around 11... ages 11 to 12 years old. Inside Lucasfilm, the show is being described as a galactic version of the classic Amblin coming-of-age adventure films of the 80s. So yeah. Kind of like Stranger Things a little bit.
Yeah, it's the Goonies, but Star Wars.
So what we used to hear about that with the rumors was that it was a High Republic show.
Right.
And I want to say that there was Jedi, like lightsabers and stuff involved. So here's my speculation. Like, my mind just instantly went here. Is this a Jedi Academy show?
It would make sense. I mean, there are only a few different contexts you can have a bunch of kids together in Star Wars, right? I mean, you've got the school that Grogu was at, I guess. Seems hard to make an entire show out of, though. But a Jedi Academy, you could do that. You could do that.
Like,
it's going to be Hogwarts, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. But they also just they said that it takes place in the Mandalorian verse, basically. Right. Like, it's going to be one of those shows, like Ahsoka, Book of Boba Fett. They're going to cross over and stuff. And we saw Luke setting up the academy, even though Grogu left. Well, maybe he gets some Padawans to join the academy, and this is them, like, and I wouldn't assume Luke is going to be in it a ton, because they're going to go off on their own adventure type thing.
Right. No, it'd be like he'd step in to, you'd see him in the very beginning of the episode finishing up his lesson for the day, and then he leaves, and then you don't see him again until the end of the episode where he comes and bails the kids out of trouble or whatever.
And it could totally not be that at all. It could just be like kids in the Star Wars universe getting into hijinks, stealing force artifacts or something, having this huge adventures like the Goonies or Stranger Things, that's a really good idea. I think that is a very, very like wise decision, because Star Wars is making headway with its television shows in a way that the new movies have not with younger generation. Like Grogu was the beginning of that, and like to add on to it with this, that's a really, really wise decision.
For sure. And like I think all Star Wars content should be for everybody, and I think they're still aiming to do that, but you do have a need for pieces that are geared, you know, you want variety in tone and, you know, content and that kind of thing. So like, especially the Acolyte seems like it might get a little dark, might get a little scary.
That's for you and me.
Exactly.
Grammar Rodeo is for my students.
Yeah. And not that, you know, either party couldn't enjoy, like, I'm sure there's not going to be like anything crazy graphic or anything in the Acolyte, but like,
exactly.
And I'm sure that like Grammar Rodeo, whatever it ends up being, will like have a lot of dark appeal moments for us. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So like there's tons of crossover, but it's good to have variety. And so I think that's going to fill a void there. Like Obi-Wan is very right there in the middle. Yep. Andor is probably going to lean a little more
Acolyte,
more
mature
on the mature side, just because Rogue One did. So yeah, I mean,
it's cool.
I like that idea. They're filling out the roster.
Do you think we'll get any more news about it at next week at Celebration?
If we do, I think it's going to be maybe part of like a big, here's all the shows we're going to be releasing for 10 years that we'll see like two of the 19 they announce.
Like a title or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it would be probably in that context just because, and I mean, I could be wrong, but it seems like there's so much that's coming out like now that we have to promote, you know?
Right.
Because we're gonna see Mandalorian season 3 stuff well before any of that, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe that like they are gonna start filming that very soon, and I think, and then the Acolyte films this fall. So like all those shows, I expect both of those sometime next year or early 2024.
Yeah.
But before we jump off this article, on the YouTube, you can see some of the images, incredible images. Now, I don't want to talk too long about images on a podcast, but yeah, just difficult. The images specifically of Din with his helmet off. I need more of that.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal.
He's looking majestic.
Yeah, he is. That mustache is looking great. Great mustache. Yeah. This is the photo that we're looking at, has Ahsoka, Din, Obi-Wan, and Cassian. And this looks like some sort of fever dream world between worlds Avengers team up.
The Star Wars Avengers assemble. Yeah, it's like all the main pillars of the big shows coming out. yeah, you got Din, you got Obi-Wan, Andor, Ahsoka. Boba Fett's missing, maybe just because
he is missing.
That's come and gone, you know? Like, I think that maybe confirms that there's not going to be a Book of Boba Fett season 2.
Probably not.
This picture. It's reading into it a lot, but also seems correct.
We also get another photo of Cassian and Mon Mothma. Mon Mothma is looking very regal in this photo because she's still a part of the Imperial Senate at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that it looks like Imperial fashion, kind of. It's more like...
It really does, yeah.
Spartan in a way, I guess. Yeah, no, I'm excited that she's getting to wear something other than the same white dress.
Yeah, I'm really liking Cassian's duster too. He's looking very cowboyish.
He does. He's got the half finger gloves, you know? Like they've got the longer hair, makes him look a little younger, I think.
Fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah. This photo of Darth Vader, Reva, and Obi-Wan, and Darth Vader and Reva have their lightsabers ignited. Incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's going to be so fun to watch in Obi-Wan, I think. Like,
by the way, every
image I see of her, she just seems like she's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Speaking of, we'll talk about this in just a second. Your thoughts on the newest trailer, because we didn't really get that last week, or 2 weeks ago.
I mean, you know, not a ton was different. Mainly just, I mean, obviously the standout is Vader and everything.
Right.
Seeing Vader and I feel like we got maybe, man, it's been so long. I can't even remember which trailer is which, but.
Well, that's the thing is like Vader was the standout, right? Of like his body being assembled towards the end, but also, it felt like Reva knew who Obi-Wan was from the trailer. She like calls out to him, "Obi-Wan, you can't run. He's coming for you."
Yeah.
Like, does she know him?
That could always be a later moment in the show, you know, after they've already had some conflict going on. But it could be, you know, right off the bat, she knows who he is, maybe from, you know, the Jedi Academy or something like that, from the Temple days.
One of the photos from the Vanity Fair has, I think, a shot from the actual filming of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's Darth Vader and Reva. They both have their lightsabers again, and they look awesome.
They do. I love, too, just that you get the full effect of the volume, because if you just look at Vader and Reva, that looks like a still frame from the movie, right? And then you just look over a little bit and there's just these film crew guys and you're like, oh, right. That's just like a video wall behind them. They look so good.
Dude, this show, like not knocking the quality of The Mandalorian or the Book of Boba Fett, but they seem to put a little bit more care into the quality of Obi-Wan, or am I just reading into it because Darth Vader's in it?
I really just think we're gonna have to watch the show.
Just wait and see.
Know? Right, because you can only tell so much from a trailer. You know,
that is true.
Even just like sometimes just looking at a thing for a extended period of time also affects like your how you perceive that. So,
but Darth Vader's in
the picture back up so we can get a longer extended period of time.
Darth Vader's in this show, Mac.
I know. How much do you think he's going to be in it?
I think he's going to be in it.
It's a fine line to walk, I think. You can't have this be the Vader show. He tends to steal the show when he shows
up. Well, maybe you could, though.
But you don't want him to. He's been built up in the marketing a lot with Hayden being, you know, involved, and he's been in the trailer now. Like, I feel like if he's in it too little, that's also going to be a bad thing. That's going to be working against it.
It's a fine balance.
There's a little balance beam that they're walking on.
Just like the Force. It must be in balance.
Look at that.
I'm so excited for this show.
It's gonna be so good.
We are 1 week away. It feels like an event. Like, I don't know if my head was in the right space for the Book of Boba Fett, to be completely honest with everyone. Maybe it was because it was in the middle of winter time, and like I just typically get sad during the winter time. Yeah. I don't know. Like, this show leading up to it, like, I feel the hype. The hype is building and building and building. It feels like a movie is coming out, like a Star Wars movie is coming out. And just, I'm so excited. I hope everyone loves it and there's no controversy with the show at all. And
Alex, it's just a given in the world.
I just want everyone to have a good time, because they started recently doing the press tours for Obi-Wan Kenobi, and just to see Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen on the press tour having a good time.
Yeah.
So cool.
It really did look like they were like happy to see each other and be hanging out again and stuff, which is, it's great, you know?
Yeah. And so like one of the articles that we read was really talking about how Hayden Christensen feels embraced by the fans now, and he feels at peace about the prequels and stuff. And I just love that, because the people who grew up with the prequels are now pretty much adults. Right. And so like they get that feedback now of like, hey, I love the prequels, and they're hearing that positivity about the show and stuff. That's really, really cool, just to see the fan base re-embrace Hayden. I know it's always the minority that's super loud about the negativity. Like,
right,
typically most everyone's like really cool about it. Right. Like, and even if the prequels weren't your thing, I feel like most fans were like, Hayden did, you know, like you liked it at the very least, you know, like nobody was, I don't know. It's just nice to see the embrace.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I mean, like, regardless of, I mean, let's just take his actual performance in anything out of the equation. It's just, we grew up like playing with action figures.
Exactly.
That were him, you know, like watching him, you having him on our, you know, lunch boxes and all that stuff. Right. So, I mean, it's just, I'm glad he's finally getting kind of the acceptance and feeling. I mean, like, you know, I was always Anakin. If we were playing Obi-Wan and Anakin in the neighborhood, I was always Anakin. I wanted to be Anakin over Obi-Wan. And I actually got a horrible knot on my head from reenacting the speeder chase scene. But that's a
jumping out of the speeder
for another time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's good to see. And yeah, there's ways you can look at it. Like, you understand like direction has a lot to do with performance and stuff. Sure. And that Hayden's a super capable actor. And then in Revenge of the Sith, like, his performance is way better.
It's
than
great. Yeah.
Before.
Speaking of, so, like, we'll be doing the commentary for that very soon on the Patreon. Soon. I can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. One of the articles that we saw also talked about Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor trying to refine his voice for Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it was a little bit of a struggle for him.
Yeah.
That was cool though, because it like shows like he's not just honing this in. Like he does care about the character and he wants to make sure it's right and like get in the right headspace for Obi-Wan Kenobi and not just get a paycheck. Like that's not what it's about for him.
Right. He said he was listening to a lot of Alec Guinness. So I don't know what he did to kind of develop younger Obi-Wan's voice when he was first approaching the role. I imagine he would probably, you know, check the reference and everything like that. But I'm really excited to hear it now because we're going to be seeing him kind of transition into that older Obi-Wan that we know from New Hope, right? That more Merlin type of a character. And so, I love that he's studying Alec Guinness to kind of get us closer to that time period. I don't need my actors in Star Wars to love Star Wars and stuff, but I really like when I see them enjoying being in Star Wars and having fun with the role and getting into it and everything like that. So,
you know, one surprise, like I always just assume Adam Driver did not really enjoy being in Star Wars. He actually loves it.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Right, yeah.
Just from, like, the press tours and stuff, you know? He's seen more of the Harrison Ford type, but...
Yes, but he seems real cool about it. And then one of the things, too, was Ewan McGregor said that he actually watched a lot of the reaction videos for the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer. I hope he watched ours.
I don't know. I hope he saw you.
And he said that most of the fan theories that he saw were absolutely wrong. And I would be honored to be wrong if he watched ours.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's fun. That's fun. If we're all wrong, that means we're in for a fun ride.
Oh, for sure. Because we were also, we've speculated just about everything that could happen at this point.
Speaking of, we were supposed to make this like our final speculation episode before Obi-Wan Kenobi premiered, but like with all the new news, we couldn't do it. So we're still going to do a final prediction show. So you got one last chance to call in to the voicemail hotline. I'm going to call it for this season. I'm going to call it the Hello There hotline.
Yeah, I love it.
Call in to the Hello There hotline. It's 205-259-6675, 205-259-6675. It's in the show notes. Leave your name. You can say where you're from, and then leave it under 3 minutes. Just give us your thoughts, your theories, what you're nervous about, what you have questions about. Leave it. If you mess up, just try again. Just hang up, try again. And you don't have to say in the voicemail you messed up in the last one. We know that you did. Yeah. It's okay.
We'll always use your latest attempts.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So definitely call in and we'll try to have a final prediction show before the premiere. So that means you get a bonus episode because Vanity Fair decided to drop this huge bomb on us today. So
for sure. Congrats. No, I'm so excited to see what all y'all have to say about everything coming up. I feel like, Alex, you and I have talked ad nauseum.
I want to hear you guys.
Yeah, let's hear some fresh thoughts and opinions for a change. I'm excited about that. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Cool. So definitely call in, leave your voicemails, join Patreon, like and subscribe, do the Apple Podcast, 5 stars, keepthewatch.com, buy a shirt. Anything else?
Hello there.
Yeah. Call in, leave a voicemail for the next voicemail episode.
I love you, listeners.
Until next time. Keep the watch.